As we study from the book of Jeremiah, we learn that Judah followed after her older sister Israel, who had forsaken God. Well, let's notice Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, as a background of our study this morning of Jeremiah chapter 15, 15 through 21. So let's look at Jeremiah 3, beginning in verse 8. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land, committed adultery with stones and with stocks, and yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Well, that's tragic, is it not? God's people committing whoredom, that is, going after idols and forsaking God. So Jeremiah was God's spokesman to preach the word unto the people of Judah. And we see this in Jeremiah 1, verse 9 and 18, and chapter 5, verse 14. And you know, Jeremiah was similar to the Apostle Paul in having suffered much persecution at the hands of the Jews, the ones he loved. Paul certainly did, as you see in Romans 9, 2 and 3, and chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Paul had a great concern for his kinsmen. Well, of course, Jeremiah did as well. As Jeremiah was a faithful prophet of God, however, in our text this morning, we're going to see that he did that which was not pleasing to God. And as we notice in our study, yes, Jeremiah was very discouraged at this time of his life. And so let's study Jeremiah 15, verses 15 through 21 in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. And every one of us should know that's the most important thing that we could be doing. That is what those letters stand for. Preparing for eternity. So let's be sure that we're doing just that. We want to take the opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we come together in our Bible classes. Of course, we want to study God's precious Word, and as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit, but also in truth, that is, having a proper attitude and following the pattern of the New Testament, John, of course, 4:24. And you would be so much welcomed to join in with us. Of course you would. We're a very friendly congregation. Something else to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set it up at your convenience, and we're always ready to answer Bible questions that you may have. Comments, positive or negative, are also appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And one other thing, our website address. We don't want to leave that out. www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get to our study as we're going to look at Jeremiah 15, And verse 15 we'll start with, and we're going to learn from Jeremiah's prayer, God's plan for Jeremiah, and God's promise to Jeremiah. So let's begin with verses 15 through 18 here in Jeremiah chapter 15. Notice, and this is going to be unusual for having a prophet of God speak in such a way before God. So let's notice. Verse 15. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? This is what Jeremiah was saying unto God. Obviously, he was discouraged in this time of his life as he recounts his woeful situation before God. And you can see a similarity here with how Jeremiah felt, as Job did, very similar, going back to verse 10 of chapter 15. Woe is to me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. Now Job chapter 3, verse 3, notice the similarity. Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. In other words, he was wishing he had died at birth. Of course, that turned out very, very well with Job receiving so much more than he started out with before Satan had brought all his tragedies upon him. But here is the point. Jeremiah is praying unto God, and even though he's discouraged, what he's saying is improper, and we all can see that, especially when you get down to verse 18 and verse 17, where he's filled with indignation. Well, we too may become discouraged at times, but we must never say such things as Jeremiah did. Well, one thing we can appreciate here is that he did go before God with his concern, and we need, of course, to go to God for strength. As Jesus taught in the model prayer to his disciples, Matthew 6:13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Certainly we can pray that today. We're not to pray thy kingdom come, of course, because it has come, and that's the church of Christ. In Philippians 4:6, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So that's what we need to do as well. But never rebuke God as Jeremiah was doing here. Yes, he was in a woeful situation, but that doesn't justify rebuking God. Because we are suffering, it doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. We must never, never, never blame God. Because God is the essence of love. 1 John 4:8. God is just and merciful to us as sinners. Look at Acts 10:34 and 35, as Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." God is no respecter of persons. He loves us all. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's never forget that. And never, never, never blame God. Now, Peter, remember when he rebuked the Lord? And notice what Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16, 21 through 24. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself," in Luke's account, "daily, and take up his cross and follow me." You see, Peter was being used by Satan to go against the will of God. Well, let's not be guilty of rebuking God. No, sir. But let's go on and notice, as you see here, God's reply is given in verse 19. And so God is going to have a plan for Jeremiah. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them." So first of all, Jeremiah is to return and to stand before God. Since Jeremiah had departed from being faithful unto God, he needs to return to God, or he will become an apostate prophet. Well, notice a lesson here. Today, all who have departed from the living God must return to have forgiveness. Certainly, on the day of Pentecost, they had departed from God as they had participated in having Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, crucified on the cruel cross of Calvary, crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And of course, with the Roman soldiers doing the capital punishment aspect, but it was the Jews who desired to have Jesus crucified, taking him to Pilate. Pilate said he's innocent 3 times, but he gave in to the Jews. The hierarchy of the Jewish religion wanted Jesus out of the way. So you see, they needed to repent. They believed what Peter said, those that cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Verse 37 of Acts 2. And Peter told him to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, that was what they needed to do, to have forgiveness, to return back to God and obey the gospel. They certainly had left God, and they needed salvation through Christ, whose blood would wash away their sins as they were immersed into his death. Notice Acts 26, verse 20. "But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." Repentance is necessary for salvation. After hearing the word, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus is the Christ, John 8:24, then we must repent. To change our will and do the will of God is necessary before making the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10, and then, of course, to be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. So this is a requirement. It's a command. And secondly, not only is Jeremiah to return and to stand before God, but he is to separate the precious from the vile. His statement to God, of course, was very vile. And he must put that vile speech away from his mouth. Now, this vile statement does not mix with the precious word of God coming from the same lips. Notice James 3:11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? 1 Samuel 3:1. Notice, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious. In those days there was no open vision. Psalm 126:6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We sometimes sing, bringing in the sheaves. Well, we have to bear precious seed and plant it in good and honest hearts to bring in the sheaves, do we not? The seed is the word of God in the parable of the soils, Luke 8:11, representing different hearts that are where the seed is planted. Of course, in the hard ground, it wasn't planted. It wasn't taken at all, but the birds came and got the seed. And that's what Satan does when a person has a hard heart. Doesn't stay there. But we understand how precious is the word of God. Should we not understand that? Of course we should. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Psalm 139:17. So as Christians, we must separate the precious from the vile. 2 Corinthians 6:17, let's notice. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We can't go along with the world and keep ourselves pure. We're to be holy because God is holy, and thus we're to be sanctified, set apart. We're not going to be able to become woke and accept ungodly perversions. No, we're to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We better take note of that. Well, certainly the Lord will separate the precious from the vile on the day of judgment. Matthew 25:32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Let's notice some other things in God's word that are precious in his sight. 1 Peter 1:19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Well, we need to remember these precious things, do we not? The blood of Christ. How precious is the like faith? And how precious is the death of God's saints before him. Now, Jeremiah is to be God's spokesman, and he's to be an influence rather than to be influenced, as you see in God's plan here in the latter part of the verse. Thou shalt be as in my mouth, let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. Don't let them take you away from the truth. That applies to us today. Those that are in sin, wanting us to join in with them. Notice Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Are we letting our light so shine before God that others can see our good works living in us, Christ living in us through his word as we carry it out? We are living in a crooked and perverse nation. That's beyond a doubt, is it not? So am I being a good influence for Christ, or am I being influenced by the world? All of us need to answer that honestly. Now, let's go on and finish out our study of Jeremiah 15:15-21, and we'll pick up with verse 20 and 21, and here we'll find God's promise to Jeremiah. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. God is with Jeremiah, and God will save him if he remains faithful, after having repented, of course, and remaining faithful. This is God's promise. God does not forsake us, but it is we who at times do what? Forsake God, just as Jeremiah did in our study. But he thankfully repented and went forth preaching the word of God. And he had assurance with God's promise. Notice Hebrews 13:15. This is what we have assurance of. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Well, that's right. God will deliver and redeem Jeremiah from the hands of the wicked. And God will deliver us from the hands of the wicked if we do not join in with those who are our enemies. We pray for them. We're to be willing to love them. We don't like what they're doing, but we want to see them learn the truth and become our brethren. But God will deliver us. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. That's right. We want to stay faithful to God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Psalm 107:2. Let's be willing to say so, appreciating what God has done for us and will do. So we have studied together how the great prophet Jeremiah was made weak. Yes, he was suffering and being persecuted. But he should never have spoken vile words before God like he did. We saw that. But he was able to be made strong again after having repented and doing what God said to take forth his word. So let's make the spiritual application to our lives. Let us never forget the cost of our redemption. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hebrews 13:6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's right. That gives us confidence, does it not? And let us remember to separate the precious from the vile, and we will receive God's precious promises, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1:4. We need to escape the corruption that's in the world. It's sure around us, is it not? And hold on to those exceeding great and precious, precious promises that God has given us. We want to be partakers of the divine nature, do we not? Well, let's do what we can. God has certainly done his part, sacrificing his only begotten Son, so that we might have the forgiveness of our sins through his precious blood. What does that mean to us? What is our life saying about how much we appreciate the love of God? Well, let's all examine ourselves. Yes, and separate the precious from the vile. Let's not be like Jeremiah and the things he said, even when the going gets tough, real tough. We'll be victorious if we remain faithful unto God. He keeps his promises. It's impossible for him to lie. Now at this time, we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. As we went over the plan of salvation earlier, let's mention that again. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. It can come no other way. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ. Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Now we're ready to repent, as we talked about. Jeremiah needed to repent. Well, in obeying the gospel, we must repent of our sins, making a change of wills and doing the will of God. Luke 13:3-5. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, having repented, we're ready to make the good confession, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Romans 10:9-10, that is unto salvation. Having stated that, now we're ready to be baptized, to be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, as his precious blood will wash them away. As you know in Romans 6:3, for example, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And now we need to live faithfully unto death. We thank you so much for listening today.